those who care enough to be comforters require love in their life, and I think the Lord supplies that with every Christian. But those who know how to comfort require some wisdom, and this is what I think a lot of Christians just don't have. We're insufficient in our knowledge as to know how to comfort a lonely person. Job's three friends seem to care about him, but they lack the sense to know what to say to him, and therefore said the wrong thing. And Job said, "You make me more miserable than I already am." And God, in a sense, said, "I'm angry at what you had to say in your way of comforting to my friend Job." You see, Job's friends assumed that if you were having any kind of calamity or trouble in your life, then it had to be your fault. A lot of folks are like that. It's always your fault. That you were being punished for some great sin in your life, they said to Job, that is, God is down on you. You straighten up and fly right, and then everything's going to be all right. I think a lot of Christians try to comfort lonely people this way. If they are depressed and lonely, we come to them and say, "Well, it's your fault. It's completely your fault. You have no right to be. You're a Christian. Christians just don't be lonely. You're guilty of some sin. You don't have enough faith. You're not proving that you love the Lord. You're not walking with the Lord. You don't have fellowship, or you wouldn't be lonely. You don't want to be anything but lonely, and so therefore you never will get out of the mess you're in." You know, we sort of scold folks who are lonely. And now you become, you see, like Job's comforters. You make them more miserable than they were before you ever came across them and tried to give them comfort. Again, may I say, when you're dealing with lonely people, you're dealing with people on the brink of giving up completely. For if you are lonely, you have little to live for. Little to live for. I had a person tell me this morning that they were the loneliest person on the face of the earth. That's right, in this church, after the service, I'm the loneliest person on the face of the earth. Now that's, you know, not a strange comment. It was an honest one, but it wasn't a strange one. A lot of folks feel that way, and it's felt that way all their life. But you're dealing with sensitive people. And I tell you, there's no simple answer for that problem. You see, lonely folks are made to feel abnormal. They're made to feel that they're God's misfits and God's unwanted people. They ought to feel ashamed of themselves. They're a bad advertisement for the gospel because they are told, "Well, you ought to be able to pray and have faith and read the Bible and snap out of your doldrums. What's wrong with you?" Not only do we not sometimes help the lonely, but we make them feel very guilty to add that to their problem. "From such comforters, O Lord, deliver me and deliver you," if you happen to be a lonely person. Now, from Genesis 2:18, we made a great discovery, which I feel like is the key to the whole problem of dealing with lonely people. God said his companionship with Adam would not be sufficient to make man satisfied. Now, Adam had the animals, and Adam had the birds, and Adam had God. But God said that would not be enough to make man content and happy and satisfied if that's all he ever had. What he was saying here, man must have a like person like him as a companion. And telling people just to pray away their loneliness and turn it over to Jesus and to have more faith is not God's idea as to how to deal with man's loneliness. How did God deal with man's loneliness? He didn't say, "Well, Adam, have a greater fellowship with me. Have a greater companionship and walk with me." No, he said, "I'm going to make you another person." Man is made up of two basic natures. He's spiritual and he's physical. God can't supply the physical need of man. I have to eat spiritual food, but I'll guarantee you I'll starve to death today. If all I eat is spiritual food and pray and read the Bible, I'll die. I am not a spiritual creature only. I am also a physical creature. I must have physical food, and God does not supply that in spiritual way. Prayer will not feed me physically. And the same thing is companionship. God made man for companionship with himself, but that was the spirit part of man. And then God said man must have a companionship with man because man is also physical. Now man's loneliness is always due to two failures in life. One, he's either inwardly lonely, that is, he never has found companionship with God. Or secondly, he was outwardly lonely, he has never been able to find companionship with man. He's failed one way or the other. And some folks have failed both ways, and they're really double on them. And all the preaching and all the praying and all the believing and all the singing is not going to change the arrangement of creation. Man needs God's companionship, and man needs man's companionship. Now, we cannot bear to be alone from Jesus, and neither can we bear to be alone from each other. Now, there are exceptions, but I want to say it's an abnormal person. The guy that can live under a bridge and never speak to anybody, never see anybody, and never care about anybody, he's abnormal. That's not the way God made us to be. He's a quirk in nature. He's an unusual fellow. And that's not what God really intended for man to be like. All of us to go off and live in some grass hut all by ourselves and never see another person. That's not the way God planned it. Now, I think only an abnormal person can deal with loneliness and not come out feeling with sorrow and not come out feeling discouraged and not come out feeling bitter and not come out feeling neglected and not come out feeling discontent. The abnormal person can be alone and not feel any of those things, but he has to be abnormal. This is not to say that a Christian cannot cope with loneliness if all he has is God alone. In other words, if you're in a solitary prison cell, or if you're lost in the jungle, or if you're marooned on some island, I'll say yes, you can have companionship with the Lord, and there is a degree of substitute that the Lord can place between us and between the man that is not to be available to us. He can somewhat relieve our anxiety and somewhat leave our attention. His presence can be very real, but Christ can never satisfy totally and completely that half of us that cries out for human companionship unless he materializes and becomes human. We need somebody we can see. We need somebody we can touch. We need somebody that we can look upon and see is interested in us and hear our voice and hear their voice. We need that kind of person. And let's face it, Christ is not that way. He's a spiritual being this morning or this evening. Adam could have made it without Eve. Adam could have made it if all he had was God and the birds and the animals. He could have made it without another person like himself. But I don't believe it would have been paradise. I don't believe God can turn any isle into paradise without also other human beings upon it. He can make some arrangements, but they'll be far from the ideal. They'll be far from glorious, and they'll be far from fulfilling. We sang a little song, "He is all I need." But I think what you're really singing about there is the spiritual part of man. And that's true. All I need in my spirit is Jesus, but my physical part doesn't say that. Now, practicing the presence of Christ is fine for my spirit, but brethren, I can't pretend and practice the presence of you. It just doesn't work that way. I can be comforted by thoughts that Christ is with me spiritually, but I don't find the comfort that you're with me spiritually when I can't see you. When I can't have your eyes, like sitting down eating a meal every day and your children are not there. Well, spiritually they're with me. It's not the same, folks. It's not the same calling a girl up on the telephone and talking to her as if seeing her right there in person. You just can't deal spiritually on human terms. It just doesn't work that way. And God didn't intend for it to work that way. But again, I say true indeed, Christ does cope with loneliness in our lives when we lose man's attention. The song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus, his heart is touched with my grief." I believe Christ is like this. "Does Jesus care? My heart is pained too deeply from earth." A song, "As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the day is a weary and a long night dreary, I know my Savior cares." We have so many songs that tell the same story and the same sentiment. Jesus cannot substitute spiritual companionship for a physical companionship. And he doesn't try. I think that's important. And he doesn't try. Or he says, "My grace is sufficient to get you through. My grace is sufficient to keep you from going mentally insane. My grace is sufficient to carry you through the storm. But all my grace is not sufficient to make you satisfied without human companionship." And you know what he's done for all of us? He calls us a body ministry. Why do you think God pulls us all together? Because we need each other. Sometimes we fight this. We don't want to get involved. Folks, we're lonely because nobody wants to get involved. And God has set the church up to be the body ministry. We are to be people caring for people because it's a necessary thing. People in God's church need to minister to each other, or we're going to be lonely creatures. I don't care how spiritual you are and how much you pray, we need each other's concern and care. As the saying goes, time heals all wounds. Well, I guess that is true to a great deal, but it doesn't ever erase the scars. Well, it may heal the wounds, but the scars are still there. You're not going to ever be in a point where you really get over loneliness. You can handle it just through spiritual means. You're going to have people willing to share and care with you if you're ever to cope with loneliness in your life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, and notice he's called the God of comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. And notice what God says here. He comforts us, that we may be able to comfort them. God is not the sole comforter. That we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Then we read verse 4. I really feel like that God comforts us, but he uses people as the means whereby to do it. Look at 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. There's a verse that we often hear quoted to people who are lonely or have any kind of trouble. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's true, God cares for us. God wants us. God enjoys our presence. God's always ready to sit down and sup with us at our table. Yes, he says, cast all thy care upon me, for I care for you. But you know you do that. You cast your care on him, the first thing he's going to do, so he's going to take it. That's right. What's he going to do with it? What's he going to take with my loneliness? What's he going to do with it? He's going to come to you with it. Huh? That's right. I come and dump my problem in his lap, and the first thing the Lord says, well, I'm going to take care of it for you. And he runs around the corner, so to speak, you see, and says, taps every once in a while somebody on the shoulder and says, now here's a little thing I want you to do for me. So-and-so over here is burdened and lonely and needs some help, and I'm not going to do it miraculously and mysteriously and mystically, but I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and you go over there and help them with their loneliness. That's how the Lord takes your burdens. When you cast your care upon him, that's all right. That's good. He says, I'll take your care. But then he comes and he dumps it up on the body's life. And then we have to go and minister the concerning care of Christ. And all I'm saying here is that Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives within me. And Christ is going to minister to your problem. How? Through me and through you. We have some strange under the Lord can take care of all loneliness without folks. He never intended to do it that way. He lives in us. We are his folks. And he's going to deal with the problems we have through people, or he's not going to deal with them at all. And if he can't get anybody in the body ministry to help with the person's loneliness, they're not going to get help. And that prayer is not going to be answered. It's not the Lord's fault. It's because nobody will get up and go and do what they can do to relieve the need for human companionship. Isaiah 53:3 is an interesting verse. Isaiah 53:3. Prophetic verse about Jesus. It says, he is despised. You never think of Christ being lonely. Well, he was. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was a man of sorrow. At times Christ was a lonely man. At the cross he had no one that stood by him. All the people that followed after him and he healed, he didn't have many folks that really cared about him, that stood with him through thick and thin. And he stood before the judgment seat of the Jews almost all by himself. I think at times Christ can very well identify with lonely people because he too went through it. But again, let me say this, Christ did not plan to settle or solve a person's loneliness without human companionship. That's why God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. If God was going to do it himself, he wouldn't have told Isaiah to do it. Psalm 69 is a prophetic verse about Jesus. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69:16, verse 20 and 21. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And then go down, if you will, to verse 20. Here's the prophetic words of Christ on the cross, so to speak. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Christ looked for comforters, and he couldn't find any. Why didn't he look to the Father? Why didn't he look just to God and God alone? That's not the way we're built. Jesus looked to God, and he also looked for comforters. But he said he found none. Jesus sought both divine and human comfort. And he found his disciples that human companionship that he needed and enjoyed as a real, honest-to-goodness person. And so did Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. You think Paul ever got lonely in prison? He said, oh man, he was so close to Jesus, he never would get lonely. He had such power at prayer, he never would get lonely. I got news for you. Look at chapter 7, verse 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us. How? All by a miracle. Not so. God comforted us who were cast down by the coming of our friend Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforting you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, and your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. How did Paul find comfort when he was cast down? Oh, if he was spiritual, he wouldn't have got cast down. Oh, yes, he would. How did God comfort him? He sent his friend Titus to him. Look at Colossians 4:8. Colossians 4:8 and 11. Paul says, I send unto you. He's talking here about Tychicus. I send unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and that he might comfort you. Why couldn't these folks in this church get comfort somebody else, especially the Lord? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who is one of the circumcision, these are my fellow workers, which have been a comfort unto me. In other words, Paul found in prison these folks that came to visit him to be a real source of comfort because he was lonely, just a lonely person. When you finally get to heaven, God will take over all your lonely problems on his own. He won't need man anymore. And that's Revelation 21:4. There'll be no tears and no sorrow and no sadness. That's when you get to heaven. And that's when God will handle them without man's aid. Now, in dealing with loneliness, there are three areas you're going to have to give attention to. One spiritual, one physical, and one psychological. And the closing part of my message, I want to deal with you as in need of comfort, as a lonely person, if you are, or are you as a comforter, so that you will not be like Job's comforters. Now, we've all been signed up by God to be comforters to the lonely. That's our job as a human being, to be like companions to our brothers and sisters in Christ. When you attempt to comfort a lonely person, or you desire to be comforted due to your loneliness, you are partaking of what the Bible calls a body ministry. We are recipients and we are also givers. And there are some things I think we ought to remember as rules if we're going to comfort the lonely or if we're going to help ourselves overcome our loneliness. Number one, there is the loneliness that is due to loyalty to Christ, and you have to face it. There are some folks that's going to separate me from them because I'm a Christian. And there are certain folks that are not going to have anything to do with me because darkness never does like light. And they're going to be folks because of my loyalty to Christ and to his commandments that are going to ostracize me, make fun of me, ridicule me, and persecute me. And I never am going to be very acceptable to these folks. So I, because of my relationship to Christ, will be lonely to some degree. And that's why Christ was a lonely person. That's why Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. That's why Ezekiel was a lonely man. That's why John the Baptist was a lonely man. That's why Paul said many times, everybody has forsaken me. Those who march to Christ's drum are going to have a lot of folks that are not going to have anything to do with them. You're going to be unpopular with a lot of people if you stand with Christ. And so therefore, you're going to have less chance to make as many friends as the worldly crowd will. And there is a sense in which the Christian needs to stick very close to the Christian because we are going to have more temptation to be lonely, because not nearly as many people are going to line up to be your friend if you're a friend of Jesus. Well, that's just something you're going to have to understand. There are some loneliness you're going to have to live with all the rest of your life if you're going to live with Jesus. And you sure don't want to lose your spiritual companionship with Christ in order to be popular with mankind. So there is automatically built into the Christian walk a loneliness that you will never be able to get rid of. You can cope with it by being companions with one another, loving the brother, but you're going to be lonely as regards to the population numbers, all of them liking you. A Christian will be very hard pressed to be popular. It's an impossibility. Secondly, there is a loneliness due to personality problems. If you're going to help the lonely folks, you've got to deal with them psychologically, not just spiritually, and not just physically. Now, we can't all be psychiatrists, but yet none of us are alike, and we can't deal with every person in the same way. And for some people, their problem is not so much isolation, but their problem is insulation. That is, they built a wall around themselves. They built the wall of pity. They grow up with the attitude, poor is me, and nobody cares about me, and I'm worthless, and I'm sorry, and I'm good for nothing. I've been told all my life I'm a failure, I can never amount to anything, and I believe it. And nobody wants to be a friend to me. Nobody wants to associate with me. I'm a born loser. And so this kind of person goes and crawls into a hole and hibernates all their life, and they're lonely. They're lonely because somebody programmed the idea they're lousy, no good people. And they believe it. Not morally wrong. They're just unfit to be human beings. And they're pressed down. They've been told all their life, get out of my sight and go bury yourself in some game. Don't bother me. I don't want you around me. And they grow up with a psychological complex. And they're lonely. They built a wall around themselves and they think, you don't want me. You knew me, you wouldn't like me at all. Nobody ever has liked me. My mama didn't like me. My dad didn't like me. My friends didn't like me. Nobody liked me. And they have what is known as self-pity. They feel sorry for themselves and they won't let you near them. They don't want you to be disappointed. And they're lonely people. It's a shame that this is true, but some people are so critical of themselves that it's hard to reach them. I'm just in the way. It's a shame, but these kind of people have to be dealt with by the Christian. They have to be reassured somehow they're all wrong. You got to reprogram these kind of people. You got to reassure these kind of people because they're going to be unsociable, standoffish, and have little to do with anybody. But you got to make them feel wanted. How? I don't know how, but God will lead you some way to make them feel wanted. Make them feel like they can say something that's worth listening to. Make them feel like they're important. Make them feel like that they're profitable. They never have had this given to them. Somehow you've got to, as you see, reprogram their estimation about themselves. Give them a new image. And then they'll feel like maybe I can come out of my hole and somebody will be glad to see me. You have to help these people be more winsome. You have to tell these people where they're making mistakes and help them improve. And that's the only way you're going to get them out of loneliness. Then there's loneliness not just due to psychological problems, but there's loneliness due to temperament problems. And with these kind of people, it takes a lot of patience. They're not so much the kind that when they're programmed as they grow up to go and hide and think they're nothing, they're programmed themselves a different direction. They react to people calling them names and saying you're no good and sorry. They react by coming hard and bitter and sarcastic and critical and rude and touchy. They fight back and they lash back, and that's how they survive their loneliness. They don't react like the guy that wants to give up and bury himself. Sometimes they're aggressive and they're going to punish everybody. And they too have to be reprogrammed, because you see, when Christ saves them, he gives them a heart of love. And they really have a great problem here, because one part of them is crying out for fellowship with the brotherhood to be nice and kind and loving and considerate and understanding. And the other side has been programmed to be bitter and hard and sarcastic and mean. And so there's a great problem here. These people are leery of people. They have a low opinion of all people. They just don't have a low opinion of themselves. They have a good opinion of themselves, but they have a low opinion of everybody else. And they have learned to be self-sufficient. It comes hard for them to learn to depend upon the Lord and to go around and help other people. They want everyone to be as independent and self-sufficient as they are, and they have to be reprogrammed. But they're lonely people because everybody stays clear of them. They're touchy people, and everybody begins to dodge them. And yet they're lonely people. They've learned to handle their loneliness by being hard. You see, Christ begins to soften the inside of these people. And so they're lonely. Then there's a loneliness due to uncontrollable circumstances such as death and war and divorce and illnesses and jobs and age. Nothing in the world you can do about this. It comes. Nobody wants to have a death. Nobody wants to see a child go to war and get killed. Nobody wants to endure a divorce. Nobody wants to get sick and lay up in a hospital 35 days, year after year after year. Nobody wants to become real old and stuck away in an old folks' home. Nobody wants to get a job, takes them away from their home for 6 months, a year. You say, none of us want these kind of circumstances that create automatic loneliness, because it's not self-imposed here. They even bring it upon themselves. They had no control of it whatsoever. And this is some of the greatest loneliness in all the world. Don't make people feel ashamed because they're lonely when tragedy strikes within their loved ones. Jesus wept. It's not such a shameful thing to weep, or he wouldn't have done it. How do you help yourself if you find yourself in a lonely position like this? Now, I'm not talking from experience. Outside of the loss of parents, that's the only experience I'm taught from. Now, again, say this night that you can't really explain to somebody how to overcome their loneliness if you haven't walked down their road. But I want to give you some ideas that I think might help if you're a lonely person because of uncontrollable circumstances. Number one, you ought to accept every invitation somebody gives you. I don't care where you want to go or not. You're not going to want to go anyway. But you ought to accept every invitation. You ought to accept every extended hand of concern for you. And if nobody gives you the invitation, which would probably be my luck, if nobody ever gave you an extended hand of invitation, well, then you extend your hand of invitation. And you invite them to see you. You invite them to go someplace with you. Force yourself to give and receive invitations. Might be a whole new world for you, but that's one way out of some of the hours of loneliness. If none call you, you call them. That's the second thing. If nobody calls you, you call them. Not call them to seek comfort, but you call them to comfort. You're not the only lonely person in the world. There's a lot of them out there, and they're looking for somebody to call them. You call, and you'll be amazed how many people will rejoice and be so happy that you call. We don't know how many lonely people there are until we start calling, you see. And if you're not called by some comforter, then you say, well, I'll be the comforter, and I'll call. You don't just seek to be ministered to, you seek to be a minister also to other people. Again, practice speaking to new people. That's so hard for my personality. But practice speaking to new people and remember the name. I understand it's so important that you call somebody's name. What does that mean? If you care not to remember my name, man, you must really care. You know, that is something else if you'll take the time, because nobody remembers new names as a general rule. But if you'll take the time, it's very important. And they consider them that you're concerned about them. So practice talking to new people and learn their names. Your mailman, you know his name? I have no idea who the guy is that comes to our house. But he might be the loneliest mailman in Pasadena. You know, he just might be. Why not extend the hand of, you might get your mail earlier, extend a hand of invitation to him, you see? Then become a good listener. Become a good listener. Then lastly, get involved with people. Wherever people meet, and that's so good about Christian people, because the church is available. Gather where people gather. Get around people. God made us for people. And so wherever people gather, you be there. Whenever people meet, you be there. You involve yourself with people as much as you can. Then I want to say this. Don't be upset with past memories. I read this in a book, and I think it's really good. He who goes walking with a lovely dream is never lonely. I like that. Vance Havner is a Baptist preacher, which I have loved to read his books. I recommend his books to anybody. Some of the easiest reading and the most comforting reading you'll ever read. He's up in years now, around 76, I think. 3 years ago, he lost his wife. He wrote a book about that, Though I Walk Through the Valley. And you have to read the book with a box of Kleenex as you read it. But he was a spiritual man. So he just put a new book out 3 years later. And I was interested. I was a spiritual man who has walked with the Lord all his life. He started preaching as a 12-year-old boy. Now, that's almost 60 years preaching with the Lord. Now, how would a man like this handle loneliness in a situation forced upon him like this. Well, his latest book, 3 years later, you have to still read the book with a box of Kleenex. But he says, I haven't forgotten my Sarah, and I don't intend to. And I like that attitude. I say amen to that. Man, he got spunk. Probably some old Job's comforter said, boy, you just worshiping her. That's a bunch of hogwash. Brother, if you got some good memories through life, I wouldn't dump them in the garbage can come what may. If you got some wonderful, lovely dreams, I'd hang on to them, because as long as you got those, you're not ever going to be lonely to some extent. An English preacher one time was going on a trip, and the last glance he had as he looked over his shoulder was his little daughter, standing in the window waving goodbye. The next day he got word that the little girl had died. Here's what he said. It seemed as though God had set her in the window as my inspiration. I would not give up that memory of my daughter in the window for all the gold of the earth. It inspires me onward in my yearning for heaven. And that's the attitude that I think is healthy. A lot of people say, well, you ought to forget all about it. I say, no, sirree. Then there's a loneliness that is due to neglect. Loneliness is the thing you got to work at if you want to overcome it. A warm handshake, a friendly smile, a cheery note, a word of praise, a phrase of concern, an offering of help, a smile, a little gift, flower, piece of candy, fruit. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big thing. An encouraging word, brief visit. If you don't want to be lonely, you got to work it. You got to work it. Because you see, you're not going to be lonely when your mind is concerned with people around you and ministering to them. And a closing word of warning to those folks who are lonely, and I think at times that's about everybody. There is an attitude expressed in the Bible in Psalm 77:2 and Genesis 37:35. It's the attitude, I refuse to be comforted. Now there's a word of warning to lonely folks here. It's a real danger that you were getting to the spot Jacob lost, he thought, Joseph. The news came in that his boy was dead, and Joseph, they tried to comfort Joseph, and Jacob refused to be comforted. Now that is a dangerous state to get in. It's understandable that loneliness will make you uncomfortable, but you must never let your loneliness make you unproductive. There will be times that you will be very lonely in this world, but during those times when you're not, you've got to serve the Lord. And you've got to stick by Him and work for Him and do the things that God has called you to do. Vance Havner's still preaching and still going on. He still got his memories, and he hadn't stopped serving the Lord. Now, I think you must not refuse to be comforted. You have a right to mourn, but you don't have a right to give up. You have a right, you said, to your moments of loneliness. And I think at times it's good to be alone. A lot of folks need to be alone more than they are. Think, meditate, pray. But if you poison the spring of your productivity and your usefulness by loneliness, then you made a drastic mistake. And it's not good. Father, we're thankful tonight that each of us plays such a key role in the life of another person. And we know there are so many psychological problems to being a true ministering part to all people who are lonely. But if we work at it, trust thy guidance and thy strength and thy power, truly many lives can be refreshed and blessed that both need comfort and that can give comfort. Father, we ask this night that you make us serious about this journey of love, that next week, as we write a letter to someone somewhere, or two or three letters, that we try to find at least one name that comes to our mind, that somebody we can comfort by writing them a word of cheer that might be lonely. We ask that you make this a permanent occupation of ourselves, that if we are lonely people, that we work at overcoming it. And if we know of others, that we'll work at helping them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.